Sophie, thanks very much for coming on the show.
No problem. Nice to talk to you.
Well, first of all, how is Australia's inaction alienating us from our Pacific neighbours?
Right. So there's a couple of areas, I suppose, where Australia's action makes an impact in the Pacific. The first is in our own emissions and Australia's limited efforts to meet its commitments, even its existing and particularly not very rigorous commitments towards reducing emissions in the country. The second is the very large amount of fossil fuels that Australia exports, which obviously has impacts in terms of contributing to climate change. And then the third issue is in terms of their investments in the Pacific related to funding measures to reduce the impacts of climate change for our neighbours.
So do you think that these comments from our Pacific neighbours are justified?
Well, obviously, I think yes. Australia's action in terms of reducing their emissions and reducing emissions and contributing to rising emissions globally is woefully inadequate. Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, the average Australian citizen, you know, well, around my area anyway, I'm in a university, that's a special kind of people. But, you know, we do try to bring our keep cups and metal straws, but is the single person kind of doing enough? Is it plastic that's really causing this?
Obviously, it's not plastic that's causing climate change exclusively, but we have these conversations in the classes that I teach all the time, and they say that the things that I teach them make them feel like they're disempowered, and that their average kind of consumption measures around bringing their keep cup is not sufficient. And the point of what I teach these students is that you should absolutely do those actions, but you should also try and think of yourself as a political citizen, and so trying to think around organizing. Organizing with your colleagues and in your communities to try to pressure the government to take more action on climate change.
So, if anything, really, what has our government done to try to lower emissions?
Right. So, the Australian government current policy to reduce emissions is to reduce emissions by between 26 and 28% from 2005 levels by 2030. That's their commitment under the Paris Agreement. But currently, they're going to meet that emission that target, if they do meet that target, largely by carrying over credits from overachieving in emissions reductions under the Kyoto Protocol. So effectively, that means that our emissions reductions will be much lower, perhaps closer to 15%. And this is one of the things that made the Pacific leaders really angry last week, this carryover of Kyoto credits. So the main policy for reducing that is called the Australian Carbon Budget, but the government hasn't actually released any details about how they're going to achieve their emissions reductions.
Should we be concerned that the government isn't releasing any details on that?
Yes, we should. And we should also be concerned that the policies that they do have in place are not really working effectively. So another example of this kind of second pillar of the Australian government climate policy is their Emissions Reduction Fund or Climate Solutions Fund. And just recently, so this fund works by bidders or actors bidding for the Australian taxpayers to pay for their emissions reductions. So this fund, which the Morrison government just announced they would give an additional $2 billion to, is meant to pay for emissions reductions. But so far, these funds are being woefully inadequate. They're not spending even the money that they're being allocated for emissions reductions measures.
So as I mentioned before, some of our neighbours have suggested that sanctions should be put on Australia if we don't kind of improve our reduction efforts. Do you think that should happen? Do you think we should have sanctions put on us?
I've actually not heard that proposal before. And I think... you know, sanctions have worked globally, although we should be careful about the kind of effects that that's going to have around in Australia, of course. Again, I'm not really sure about that proposal, but it's really important also to think about the politics of these measures in the Pacific. So you mentioned before the president of Kiribati Anote Tong, former president of Kiribati Anote Tong, who's been really vocal globally around climate change. And the purpose of that historically has been to try to lobby for global funding for these adaptation and resilience measures. But I think we're seeing a shift in that rhetoric from these leaders to really try to pressure the international community. And so the current efforts, I think, are really around shaming the Australian government globally in the lead up to these important meetings, UN meetings around climate change in September in New York.
And I guess if I could just ask you one last question. You mentioned before that it's good for, you know, the individual Australian to kind of become a more political person. But what more can be done moving forward to kind of reduce this terrible thing from happening?
Yeah, well, as I said before, we should all take our individual actions, extending beyond our kind of personal consumption politics, thinking about where we source our energy, the kinds of holidays that we're taking. I have a friend in Europe who said that this summer there's been a real emphasis on not flying for your holidays. They're calling it the climate change train holidays now. So thinking about your consumption in that way, but also really coming to think of yourself politically. And so, you know, one of the most important things that you can do to address climate change is think seriously about how you're voting.
Sophie?
Yes?
Oh, great. Excellent. Sorry. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
No problem. Lovely to talk to you.